Okay, welcome back to YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And if you're a first-time listener, we would absolutely love to hear from you. You can tweet the show at E-Radio Sports. You can also email us at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. As promised, it is time now to get some news and notes in Major League Baseball. And always our go-to guy is one of the rising stars right here at YSR, and that is our very own Andy Pondillo. Hello, Andy. Good evening.
I like that term, rising star. You know, if I couldn't do it in the big leagues, couldn't do it in the minor leagues, couldn't do it anywhere, at least I can do it here.
That's right, and you are certainly doing that. Well, our first order of business, before we discuss the tight races, the home stretch of the season, I mean, Andy, who knew that baseball could be such a romantic sport? I absolutely loved watching Kate Upton, Justin Verlander, flirting at Monday's game. He tosses her a baseball from the dugout up to, you know, how sweet is that?
You know, I'm starting to wonder if this is a Tony Romo thing. Remember when he was with Jessica Simpson and he couldn't do well anymore because... Mm-hmm. Justin Verlander has not had a very good year at all. In fact, he may not even be in the rotation for the postseason, assuming the Tigers get there, which many of us think they will after the acquisition of David Price. So the romance is good. I think every guy in the right mind would love to date Kate Upton, but I think Tigers fans would much more like to see Justin Verlander pitch, at least like Justin Verlander half, because whatever he has been this year, it's been pretty ugly.
Well, and you are spot on because Justin Verlander, I mean, there's been so much speculation in terms of why he has been inconsistent this year. And of course, when you have a lovely distraction like Miss Kate, you can certainly understand why.
You know, there's a lot of people that will debate what happens to these pitchers, why they find it, why they lose it, why it comes back. But, you know, one thing I see in Verlander, I see it time and time again with hard throwers is, yes, he still throws hard. Yes, he can still be dominant, but I don't know if he throws quite as hard as he used to, and when he's not able to overpower hitters like he once was, maybe he has to depend on location, maybe he has to depend on changing speeds a little more, and we find that power pitchers sometimes are a little slow to adapt like that. You know, even Roger Clemens, a guy that reinvented himself after he was a power pitcher, he had to find his way through a few years where maybe he wasn't quite Roger Clemens, and once he came back, throwing a few miles per hour softer, he was able to reinvent himself and become that great pitcher once again.
Okay, you're listening to the familiar voice of Andy Pondillo right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So we're here in Houston, and as always, we like to start off with the Astros. So at times, gosh, they continue to tease us. I mean, they go through these stretches, Andy, where they win a few more games, and then they drop a couple. I mean, what's going on? It's making us crazy as Astro fans.
It's really crazy, because the last homestand, it was a bit of a roller coaster of a homestand where you see them get swept by the Marlins, and then they come back, take the series versus Oakland, in which they probably should have swept the series, but they settle for 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays. So they take series from two very good teams, and right now they lose a series to the Philadelphia Phillies on the road, a team you feel like they should be able to, you know, be victorious over these types of teams. Now, by any means, the Astros aren't exactly a great team right now, but they're a team that's supposed to be getting over that hump a little bit this year. To get over that hump, you got to pound the lesser teams of the American League, the lesser teams of the National League, and sometimes, for whatever reason, they just throw up a gaffe versus them, and it's been an interleague play, it seems, where they've found their struggles versus these National League teams, which has kind of been a head-scratcher to me, probably just not going through their scouting reports. I know they're going through them, but they're not executing. You see different players you're not used to, and sometimes you see different teams dominate that you wouldn't expect to during interleague play. So, you know, the Astros have had their struggles there. Being able to win those two series I mentioned before is a huge deal for them. So, yeah, it's always a bit of a tease, but they're also kind of going with a makeshift lineup right now. George Springer out, Dexter Fowler out. You don't know when they're getting back, and the lineup just isn't pretty. So every day is going to be a dogfight for them to try and scratch together wins.
Well, let's talk about George Springer. Let's talk about his execution. I mean, you talk about a tease. I mean, he was set to join the team off the DL, and then it was pushed back. Where is he at this point here in the month of August?
Right now, he just experienced another injury. He was just about to come back to the Astros, and everybody in Houston was getting excited to have their guy back, mm-hmm. the guy who just hits home runs everywhere, does everything in the outfield, can throw, can run. He is the five-tool player the Astros have been waiting for, but It may be a little bit of a stretch longer in his quad. This is something between his quad and his knee that's popped up a couple times this year. When you're dealing with young players, the last thing you want is lingering injuries. So with this coming up on a rehab assignment, re-aggravating the injury, it makes me wonder if the Astros will just shut him down for a lengthened period of time now. Not what Astros fans want to hear, but when this season really doesn't matter under the scheme of things when it comes to wins and losses, it makes me wonder, is this just going to be the final point for George Springer this season?
Okay, our very own Andy Pondillo is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and always twice as nice, you can go back to our podcast page, yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Speaking of podcasts, Andy, you've got some great stuff out there. Share with all the listeners across the country where they can go and check out your podcast on the Astros.
We talk news, rumors, and everything Astros. So it's a fun time over there, blasting off calmingtowelshill.com. All one word, so you'll find me there with some of my trusty co-hosts.
Okay, so the trade deadline, it has come and gone. Talk to us about the trade to the Marlins for the package for what, with Colin Morin.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting trade right there, because you trade a proven arm in Jared Cozart, a young arm at that. So the Marlins liked what they could find in Cozart. Their upcoming team, Giancarlo Stanton, obviously their big masher, and then Fernandez, who's been on the disabled list, comes back. Cozart is a nice complimentary pitcher to an already good young team over there at the Marlins. They keep him under control for several years now, so they'll like that at a low cost. While the Astros, they get the first round pick by the Marlins last season in Colin Moran. So that's exciting for the Astros to have a young third base prospect and really a premium position now. Third base has become one of the worst positions in all of baseball, and you see different stretches where certain positions are hot and when certain positions are not. So with third base being down in all of baseball, that ups the value of a guy that could hit at that spot. So I see what the Astros are doing. Matt Dominguez, while I can't say he's been a bust at third base, I don't think he's been all they expected. He doesn't get on base. He hits for power every now and then, but to be a major league hitter, you need to get on base at a 300 on base average clip. He's failed to do that, so I feel like they're looking to do this trade. Not a trade I felt like they imagined they were going to have to do, but a gaping hole moving forward in the Astros offense is they don't have on base guys. I think Moran fills that. They also get Jake Marisnyk, a four-tool player out there in the outfield for the Astros. Unfortunately, the tool he does not possess right now is that ability to hit. So
yikes.
It's not, or a hit for power, rather. We mm-hmm. know he can hit for contact. He's done that in the minors, but a lack of power and basically a lack of hitting at the major league level. So you drop him down to three tools. So he's kind of a work in progress. It was a bit of a throw in on the deal to sweeten it up. Astros also receiving a compensation pick. You know anything about Jeff Luhnow, he loves his draft picks.
You know, you talk about and highlight some of the trades that went down with the Astros, but just overall, I don't want to get too off track. I've got a couple more things I want to talk to you about the Astros, but what were your thoughts on some of the trades across the league?
You know, I love the A's finally going for it and going after John Lester. I think this makes the A's probably the best rotation we've seen in a while compiled by one team. You could argue that the Tigers getting David Price would rival them with the A's, but until mm-hmm. I see a Justin Verlander, it's really a Justin Verlander, I'm going to put my cards on the Oakland Athletics right now for the best rotation going into the postseason. You know, John Lester having a career year, Sonny Gray, Samardzija already there. You know, that's three, and you really only need three. Four is nice, and you know, the Oakland Athletics definitely have that as they made the trade for Hamill, who struggled since they made that deal, but nobody feared Jesse Chavez, another guy that could be moved into the bullpen, out of the bullpen, back into the rotation. It's just an absolutely sick rotation that Oakland Athletics are throwing down. Yes, they had to give up Cespedes. Only one more year left on his contract. The A's normally don't spend a lot of money, so they probably weren't going to re-sign him anyway. He goes to the Red Sox. I think both teams win in this deal. Red Sox reformatting the middle of their order, which has been their ultimate Achilles heel this year. Also getting Alan Craig in a deal, which they sent John Lackey to the Red Sox, or to the Cardinals, pardon me. So you're looking at a team in the Red Sox who knew they weren't going to win this year. They were able to ship off a couple of their pitchers, and they were able to get good return for them. As for the Rays, ultimate losers in this thing. I don't know what the Rays are doing. They didn't have to trade David Price. They almost made a historic comeback back to 500 this year, gave the team some hope, gave the fans some hope. I don't know how you explain that to your clubhouse, trading David Price. And if you're going to trade him, at least get a decent return. I think the return was horrible. And if how desperate they were to trade David Price it makes me question if there's something we don't know, some sort of injury, something going on with him, because they did not have to trade David Price. He wasn't a free agent until after next season. They could have waited to the offseason. They could have waited till next season at the deadline. So that one's a bit peculiar to me, especially with the lack of return that they got in that deal.
Certainly some surprising moves. David Price, as you just highlight, sent to the Tigers, the Red Sox, and their ace, John Lester, to the A's. We're going to step aside, Andy, for just a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined. And I want to talk some more with you about the impact of these trades, what it will have on their teams. We will be right back with our very own Andy Pondillo at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports, and we will be right back.